Praise God. I just wanted to give a brief little testimony about how the Lord's changing my heart and how I receive, you know, messages like this. Because, you know, in the past, I've received it as like, I just feel so much dread, a weight, a heaviness, a spirit of avoidance. I need to be separate from the world. I need to get away from the world. I need to avoid everything in this world. And, you know, Brother Phil, you spoke on the joy that we can have in the midst of this and through all this and how we need not be discouraged, and especially for us younger folks who are, we have a life to live in this world. We don't need to be discouraged. We dare not be discouraged, because that's going to be hindering us. That's going to hinder us, and we don't need to have a spirit of avoidance or dread in any of this. The joy that I think God is showing me that we can have, the hope that we can have, and I've been watching The Chosen a lot lately, is that, like we sung about this morning and we spoke of it today too, Christ living in us, what that truly means. You know, Jesus, he and I can visualize it now because of the Chosen series that I'm watching. He touched a leper to heal him, you know, and he didn't for a moment think about how he might get sick from that. While the rest of the world, everybody else in the world was avoiding that leper, was avoiding all the lepers in the world, keeping their distance. He went and touched that leper, and he healed that leper. He was so clean, he knew nothing could defile him. And he was acting in love and knew that the Father would faithfully protect him. And, Mom, I'm going to put you on the spot because, you know, you've been an example for me this week. I've been sick, you know, I was sick, I actually got sick last Sunday. And I had some sort of virus, and I had a sore throat. I think I had a fever, and now I have a sinus infection from it. But, you know, I say this jokingly and out of love, but the rest of the household was, you know, keeping their distance, avoiding me, as naturally we all tend to do. But Mom, you know, thank you. She was taking care of me, and she was, you know, acting out of love, you know, not being afraid of getting close to me. Not a second thought crossed her mind that I might get sick from this. And, you know, she just, you know, gave me all the nutrients and all the nourishment that I needed to help me get better. She wasn't out for her own protection. She was out for my healing. And that is the way we need to be. And especially as your younger generation, as you're growing up, this is the mindset you guys need to have. We need to have, as a body of Christ, all of us, not just the younger generation, all of us who are still alive, we're alive for a reason. And we have this duty, this obligation to be Christ's hand extended, to be that hand extended to that leper, and not be afraid of how we're going to get, how we may be defiled by this. You know, Christ also says it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of him. And we can have that faith that the Lord will protect us if we're acting in love, if we're doing God's will. So I just wanted to come up and, you know, share with you guys how the Lord's helping me and my heart in accepting this joy in this life where we're at. We don't need a spirit of avoidance. We can go into this world and be Christ's hand extended. Amen. Praise God.
And the Lord said, don't call unclean that which I've made clean, didn't he? And, I'm going to give out something. It's a song I think the Lord gave to me a couple years ago. Regretfully, I've kind of kiboshed it and just hid it. Mainly because, you know, like it's been said this morning, you look at your flesh, you look at things, you're like, well. So the song came to me in a question form, I guess. It was kind of cool. I remembered it was a Thursday in April, and it came to me between two service calls. It's like a little jingle and the word. So I'm just going to, like I said, it's not something I really want to do, but when Phil said the words, I said, well, I'm going to do it now. So, do you call on the Lord while he is near? Do you stand on his promises and the truth that he's revealed? Do you grieve not the spirit whereby which you are sealed? Do you call on the Lord while he is near? And that was it. It was, of course, as I sang it, it came like, you know, do you as a question, then I will as a proclamation. And then, you know, like a lot of songs we sing, let us call on the Lord. But anyhow, that's, I've had it for a while and I kind of shelved it and felt like now's the time. So there you have it. So.
I just felt like I needed to get up here because the spirit of the urgency of what we've heard this morning, I think we really need to take this to heart, every one of us. I know I have, and for some time, because I see what's going on out here, and I picked up a book that I read years and years ago, Love Not the World, by Watchman Nee, and when I started reading it, I realized how much of the world had crept in to my vessel and how much I had been influenced by the world. And it scared me, because we need to keep our eyes. We're not of this world. When Jesus calls us out of this world, we're not of this world. We are born into a kingdom that's not of this world. And we need to, we can't get out of the world. Paul said that. He said, you can't, you know, you're going to touch the world. There's nothing you can do about that. But we need to be careful how we touch it. We need to be careful how we live in this world. And we also, we need, just like Phil was bringing out this morning, when the Lord is dealing with us, when he is putting his finger on things in our life, you know, Jesus said, take up your cross. He didn't just say, take up your cross and follow me. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. That means that every day you take up your cross, there's going to be some death that God's going to work in you, because he wants to bring forth some life. And as we die, then we're going to have this life. But I was just looking at this because I've been thinking about Matthew 25, where he's talking about the virgins and how they were all asleep. And God has been waking people up. I don't know if you're aware of it, but God's waking us up. He's been waking us up for some time. And now he's doing all these things out here in the world that we see, these disasters, these killings, all the evil that's coming forth out here. God's allowing that, and he's doing that for a purpose, because he wants to touch somebody. There are still people out here that he wants to touch, that he wants to bring to repentance. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't want to see people perish. Why would he send his son down here to die if he took pleasure in seeing people die and not being able to be with him for eternity? But I was reading this morning while Phil was reading it. And in this version here that I've got, it says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. But there's a footnote on that word decision. And I never looked at it before. I looked at it this morning. And that decision, this footnote says it's God's verdict. God has been dealing with people for how long? Ever since Adam and Eve, he's been dealing with people. But since Jesus came, it's been over 2,000 years. He has had this message go out about his son. He has been inviting people to his dinner. He has been inviting people to come in. And people have chosen and come up with all kinds of excuses not to do it. But when it comes to this day, when multitudes are coming in, this is the final decision you're going to be able to make. Because God, if you know anything about courts, you know that when you go to court, you have the prosecutor and you have the attorney. And you go through this process in court. But when it's all over, when everything's been said and done, there's a verdict that comes down. Well, that's what's happening here. God is getting ready to pass his verdict. This is a serious thing that Phil was talking about. If God is in any way convicting you, or I don't even know how much people are convicted anymore. You know, their consciences have just been so absorbed by the world and by the things that we hear every day and that we receive in the schools and that's been put out here by the government and all this other stuff. We're so absorbed by that that we're not really in tune with what God is about. But if God is touching your heart, you really need to take this seriously. You need to call on Him. You need to fall before Him. You need to ask God to help you, to save you. You know, we're being saved every day. Yeah, I mean, it's true. You know, we've got things in our life and God has to deal with them. But there's going to come a day when God's really going to cross you in that one thing that's hindering you. When He does that, you need to make the right decision, because it is life. Joshua said this, I put before you today life and death. God's putting that before us this morning. I believe that with all my heart. For some here or some that may hear through this message, that may go out on the air, you need to take heed. This is reality. And if we bow our knee before Him, God's got such joy, peace, and love and everything else. We've got everything that God has. That's what's waiting for you. But if you turn around and leave, if you turn around and decide to go your way, that's it. I really believe that God is getting ready to pass His verdict on this world, this nation. This whole world. So let's take this seriously. You know, I love you all, and I appreciate your prayers. I need prayer. I really do. I've been in this decision thing, going through all kinds of things, but God has been faithful. I have seen His faithfulness to give the word every time I need it, to be able to bring that forth. That's what God has for you if you bow your knee to Him. He will help you. He will lift you up. He will strengthen you, and He will establish you. I just wanted to share that.